it's Monday. Welcome to Two Way Talk. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
And boy, do we have a lineup for you today. There was some vandalism. Some swastikas were spray painted on some Jewish headstones. We're going to talk with Councilman Zeke Cohen is going to stop by. And then there is a boys mentoring program that is doing incredible work. This hour, we're going to join Cameron Miles, and he's going to tell us all about it and how you can support the work being done for these young people. How was your weekend, Kara?
My weekend was really good, and I got a lot done.
You told me you mowed the lawn. I was so impressed with you.
I had to do yard work Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mowed the lawn front and back, and it beat me up.
That just makes me tired thinking about it.
But I knew when I woke up this morning that my body was going to be like aching. But I got it done.
You got it done.
How about you? What did you do?
I hate to admit that I went to some restaurants.
Okay.
I went to Creole Soul Restaurant and filled my big old belly up with food. It was so good. I watched a couple of movies over the weekend.
Okay.
Including the animated Baby Boss.
Okay.
Or Boss Baby.
Yes.
Oh, Back in Business. It was, I giggled the whole
time.
Okay.
I gotta get there.
Oh, you have to see it. Alec Baldwin stars as the baby.
Yes.
The big boss. And he is hilarious.
Yes, he is. He was hilarious in the first one.
He was so good. Oh, it was good. And then, of course, I made the mistake of watching the news and was just flabbergasted at the number of people who unfortunately were shot this weekend.
Yep.
Some young people were caught in the crossfire. It's a terrible thing that Baltimore has become known as the shooting gallery.
Yeah. You know, usually when you go out of town and people start to mingle with each other, you ask each other, where are you from?
Where are you from? That's right.
Child, you know the faces I get when they say Baltimore.
Mm.
And then they question me like I'm the one that can tell them everything, why people are shooting.
You must be the spokesperson all of Baltimore.
Yes. Well, why is the murder rate so high in Baltimore? Mm. I said, I don't know.
I'm not doing it.
Right.
I don't know. But it's crazy. Now, because there are so many great things happening in Baltimore.
Right.
But let's just be honest. They get overshadowed.
There's a lot of people that talk about loving Baltimore and mm-hmm. wanting to be in Baltimore. They're from out of town.
That's right.
You know, the Creole Soul
the
people,
Creole
they
Soul,
came
they
in and said
it.
They love Baltimore. But like you said, the murders, the violence, it overshadows. And it's creeping into those once, quote, protected places,
those neighborhoods where you didn't hear about violence.
That's right.
There are shootings, there are questions. And those people, when something happens in their neighborhood, they are up in arms.
Right. And they get on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We were talking about this last week about those neighborhoods, Guilford and all that.
That's right.
But another community.
Roland Park.
Another community is the Asian community.
Oh,
they
wow.
do not stand for that.
They don't.
And
let somebody come for one of them.
And the government and the city responds to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to respond to everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
And guess what? It is Food Truck Week,
honey,
here in Baltimore. I'm going to be rolling around, peeking around to see what I can see.
Yes, I can't wait.
A lot of good food on these food
mm-hmm.
trucks.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of. And it's cheaper than owning a restaurant.
That's
the
right.
overhead.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, it is.
When you have something mobile, you don't have all those light bill, the rent,
that's right.
All the overhead. You just don't have
That's right. And the food is just as good.
Mm. I'm telling you, if you can find the right food truck,
mm-hmm.
you have found something.
Yeah, you're right.
You have definitely found something.
I have one that we used to be a Jamaican truck in Baltimore. I just texted him before we got on air to ask him if he still has his truck. He didn't answer me yet,
uh-oh.
But we'll find out.
That's right. Let's find out and let's go.
All right.
Let's go and get some of that great food.
Yeah.
We're going to be joined here in just a few minutes by Councilman Zeke Cohen, and we're going to talk about what has happened in a Jewish cemetery here in the city of Baltimore. And Councilman Cohen, and he had colleagues of every religion, every race, every creed came out and stood
mm-hmm.
with him. They were outraged by yeah. what had happened with these swastikas. And this has been happening in his district. People have been putting swastikas on light poles. Mm-hmm. And so there's something happening.
Yeah. And it's almost like we know this will dig at you. So wow. This is what we're doing. When I read the article and it said, you know, it could have been teens just putting stuff on there because they know that it could have been somebody that really has some deep-seated hate. Mm-hmm. It's sad that as a teen, you would do that to get to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, and you probably don't even know what it means.
That's right.
You probably don't even know the you know, how deep that swastika mm-hmm. goes, but you learned that from somebody else.
Now, Zeke Colin will share with us that his grandmother escaped from Austria
right.
just before the Nazis came.
Mm-hmm.
And if she had not escaped the Nazis and the murder of her family, Zeke Cohn would not be here today.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a powerful statement. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. And the interesting thing is that the head of the Jewish Council said that he has noticed a spike in anti-Semitic attacks and vandalism, and these things are up. And I wonder if it has anything to do with the tenor of our country
right.
under the previous president.
Yes. I would say so.
Yes.
I would say
I
so.
I really do. I believe.
I would say that any racial, I don't want to say uprising, but mm-hmm. any racial violence probably has a lot to do with the last president's
Isn't
tenure.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because I think people have been motivated and got more brazen.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. We are happy to welcome the first district councilman, Zeke Cohen. Zeke Cohen has represented the first district for a while. He grew up in Northampton, Massachusetts, the son of a social worker and a psychiatrist. I know him because he is the creator and founder of The Intersection, and he is just this incredible voice of progressive leadership on the Baltimore City Council. Councilman Zeke Cohen, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Anthony, it's a pleasure and an honor, my friend. Congratulations. Thrilled to be with you. Kara, I've heard great things about you as well.
Thank you.
Really excited to be here with you all.
Before we get into the reason that you called leaders together and talked about the vandalism that took place in the cemetery, I read a story this weekend about your family and your incredible grandmother. Could you tell our listeners about that history?
Absolutely. So I am a descendant of refugees who escaped from Austria right before Hitler came to power. My great-grandmother had been a seamstress, and she and her family started to see that the Nazis were coming and that they were going to be devastating and catastrophic for the Jewish people. And so she had the foresight to get on literally the last boat out of Austria. And what she did, and I told this story at the vigil, is that she actually sewed her coins into her clothing, into her garments, because, as I mentioned, she had been a seamstress, and when Jews would go to escape from Europe, the Nazis would confiscate all of their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so my most prized possession is this letter that I got from my great-grandmother when I was just 1 year old.
Wow.
And in the letter is this tiny little coin, and in the center of the coin, the gold coin, is a tiny little hole. And that's where she punctured the needle and sewed it into her dress so that she could escape with it and live a full life in America. And the thing that I know is, had she not have left and gotten up and gone in that moment, I would not be sitting here having this conversation or
That's
serving
right.
the city and the country that I love as a city councilman, because the rest of her family was exterminated in concentration camps.
Hmm.
And so for me, as a descendant of Holocaust victims and survivors, there is this powerful cultural and historical memory of my own family and the journey that we took to get here. And just knowing that, you know, these symbols, these swastikas, are just an incredibly powerful, violent symbol of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see them, you know, we have an obligation to stand up and stand united.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's my family's story. And again, that's why I'm that's why I'm here with you today.
Kara and I were talking about what is the motivation, and I want us to get specifically to what happened at a cemetery in Dundalk. But there has been swastikas all over your district. People have been finding them on lampposts and other places. What do you think is driving this, Councilman Cohen?
Yeah, you know, I think unfortunately, and I think you all were touching on this before I got on the air, which is that I do think we are in a moment where the rise of white nationalism, fascism, this sort of alt-right ideology that is we're seeing in places as far from Baltimore as, you know, Europe. You know, we're seeing these right-wing neo-fascist governments come into power.
Yeah.
You know, our former president, you all mentioned this, part of what I think propelled him into power was his, at times, very loud dog whistle to white nationalists.
Yes.
You know, when he would retweet images of Jews with money symbols all over them, despite having a Jewish son-in-law and ultimately, you know, a daughter who converted to Judaism, you know, when he would say things about Mexican immigrants as rapists as a way to launch his presidential campaign, when he would talk about, you know, the carnage and crime of American cities, and of course our late great Elijah Cummings, and just denigrating places like West Baltimore, which we know have so much power and pride, but just to lump them in as these dirty rat-filled, you know what? I think that what he was able to channel and help to unleash was this undercurrent of white supremacy and white nationalism that I think has been with us for a very long time in this country. I should say that not everyone welcomed my great-grandma in with open arms.
Wow.
And there were definitely stories that she told about Americans not wanting her here and wanting to have turned that ship around. Fortunately, I think the vast majority of people, or I should say the majority of people, have a vision of our country and especially of our city that is welcoming, that's inclusive, that understands that diversity is our strength and not our enemy, and that we're better when we're with each other, that that's what makes America great as a country, is that it is this melting pot of amazing people and cultures and communities. And so, you know, I think, Anthony and Kara, that's the great contradiction of this country, is on the one hand, we are a nation of immigrants that, you know, our founding story is really about breaking away and creating our own nation. And at the other, on the other hand, we have this ideology that is either under the surface or, in the case of President Trump, very much in the public, that is about caste and is about having a dominant caste and needing to have, whether it's the Jews, the blacks, the immigrants, whoever it is, that there's this other subclass of people that don't deserve the same rights as everyone else.
Yeah, well, I agree with what he's saying. I was just sitting here thinking that it's unfortunate that we don't know, since President Trump has been banned from the social media platforms that we typically use, we don't know where he's at on
That's
the internet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what he's saying and who he's saying it to, which could probably lead to this lash of, you know, racist foolishness that's going on, you know, and they are listening to it. These people that are doing it are listening to it, and we're not giving it any time.
Why?
So we don't know what he's saying to them that could cause this.
Now, Councilman Cohen, were you surprised at all by the number of people from different races, different religions, different just so many different voices coming together to say that these swastikas on these Jewish headstones will not be accepted?
No, because that's the story of our city.
Yeah.
Baltimore is a welcoming, beautiful, diverse place that, you know, you mentioned this in the intro. I didn't grow up here, but this city adopted me.
Yep.
And like,
opened
it, you know, it brought
yep.
me in mm-hmm. as a young pup. You know, folks like you and Mark Steiner and others, you know, when I was, came here for college and stuck around and am now raising my family and my two kids.
That's right. There's two beautiful children.
So, you know, it didn't surprise me at all. And I do have to thank, of course, Howard Libet and the Baltimore Jewish Council, but also to have support from Kobe at the NAACP mm-hmm. and all these different reverends, Al Hathaway, and folks from every denomination of the church, our Muslim brothers and sisters and siblings, Casa de Maryland, the NAACP, Organizing Black. I mean, just this incredible outpouring of support and love. And I'll tell you, it really lifted my spirit because it's hard, man. You see that symbol, and to a Jewish person, it's almost like seeing a noose a burning cross. I mean, we know exactly what it is. We mm-hmm. know that symbol is death and genocide to us, and that there are still people who are lurking in the shadows who want us dead. And so when you see folks from every race and religion coming out together to stand together in the scorching heat mm-hmm. in this Jewish cemetery in Dundalk, it really is heartening. I mean, just to have that kind of love from the Council on American Islamic Relations, from just everybody saying that, you know, this is not who we are, this is not what we stand for. And we stand for a united, collective Baltimore that is beautiful in its diversity. You know, that was really special to me. And I will forever be grateful for just the many, many, many leaders that showed up on that day. And that, you know, I know that if this happened in a church, that we would be there for them. If this happened in a mosque, we will be there for them. You know, this is about all of us standing up against white supremacy and for a vision of Baltimore and the United States that is its best, most diverse, most connected self. That's mm-hmm. who we are.
Exactly. I agree.
Do you think that what's next? I mean, I think that we all are shocked when we see swastikas on headstones or we see swastikas. As you said, it could have been a noose somewhere. It could have been a burning cross. What's next? How do we galvanize what is the Baltimore spirit against this kind of hate so that we know that we saw the symbols, we saw the swastikas, but it has... Other than breaking our heart, it doesn't have an effect of keeping us down. We are going to move forward. We are going to move without fear. We are going to move with determination. What's next? What's the message now to overcome these vestiges of hate?
Yeah, and again, I think that whether it's the shooting that took place in Charleston
yep.
where 9 black parishioners were shot by Dylann Roof, whether mm-hmm. it's the shooting up of a synagogue in Cleveland. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's all connected to hatred, bigotry, and white supremacy. And so I think we need to really treat it as such. And to know that, you know, listen, on the one hand, we are absolutely working closely with Commissioner Harrison. My hope is that we are able to catch this person mm-hmm. and that hate crime charges will be applied. And on the other hand, you know, we know that really the only thing that is going to stop the hatred and the madness is love. Mm. It's not, you know, you can arrest people all you want,
yep.
but when it comes to this kind of bigotry, when it comes to, you know, the violence and the madness and the hate, you know, we can't arrest our way out of it. That's always been my driving principle, is it's going to be love, it's going to be connection, it's going to be community, it's going to be all of us standing with each other as we did in that cemetery. And so mm-hmm. for me, to answer your question, Anthony, I think that, you know, I've been doing a lot of meditating and having conversations with leaders of different faith communities about, you know, is there a moment to really try to reimagine, rebuild some of the bridges that, you know, if we're being really honest that at times have been broken.
Yep.
When I think about the relationship between Black and Jewish folks in Baltimore, you know, we would be lying to ourselves if we didn't say that there are times when it has been deeply strained.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's unfortunate. And I do wonder whether it's, you know, the Black community, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, the Hispanic community, is there an opportunity, is there a moment right now to have some deeper conversations, to mm-hmm. really think about what it would look like for some real repair? And, you know, to me, it sort of hedges into the conversation around reparations mm-hmm. and what could that look like in a local place like Baltimore? Or at the very least, what would it look like to have some hard truth and reconciliation conversations where we acknowledge our complicated and at times deeply troubled history, and at the same time acknowledge each other's humanity and that we are connected, you know, as Dr. King said, in this tapestry of mutuality, and be able to build a Baltimore together that's really about all of us mm. and not about one community benefiting at the expense of another or exploiting or, you know, any of the division that we've seen historically within our city. I think that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But I also have a lot of faith because I know Baltimore and I know its people and I know its leaders. And I know that, you know, when we want to get things done, we really can. And to me, you know, a lot of my work has been around healing trauma.
That's right.
To me, there is deep intergenerational trauma that Black folks experience in this city,
mm-hmm.
not just with slavery, but with redlining, with our 1910 city ordinance that, you know, segregated us by race, by white, Black, Jewish. You know, there is just a lot of intergenerational historic trauma that our city needs to unpack and that we need to be able to address and reconcile and repair.
And we really need to start that work now.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, Zeke Cohen, I'm sure your great-grandmother is very proud of you and the incredible work that you are doing here in our city. Zeke Cohen represents the 1st Councilmatic District. He joined us to talk about some troubling things, but there's some hope. There's some hope. Thank you, Zeke.
Anthony, it's so great to have you back on the air, my friend.
Thank you,
my
friend.
We really missed your voice, and Tara, just really excited for you and this gentleman. I think y'all have just an amazing opportunity.
Thank you.
And I'm rooting for you.
Thank you so much. Folks, we got to take a very quick break. When we come back, Cameron Miles is going to join us. You're listening to Two Way Talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Two Way Talk. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
And Kara and I are here every day from 5 to 7 here on Public Radio WEAA. Absolutely.
The voice of the community.
And we are bringing interesting topics and interesting people to the airwaves here. People that we know you want to hear, but people that you will be inspired by. One of those people is Cameron Miles. Cameron Miles is the founder of an incredible mentoring program, mentoring teen males in the hood. And they have been getting great press, but they have been doing even greater work in the community. And I'm just waiting for the signal that he is on the line so we can bring him to you. Cameron Miles, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
It is great to hear your voice. Kara and I are excited to have people like you that can inspire, lift up, and call to action people in the city of Baltimore.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the mentoring program that you are involved in, and then I want you to tell us the story of how it got started.
So the name of the program is Mentoring Male Teens in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
This is our 25th year.
We're just trying to help young men between the ages of 8 and 18. We have programming year-round. We work with young men predominantly from Baltimore City, but they come from the county as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want me to talk about programs.
Yeah, what are some of the programs that you all offer to these young men?
Yes, sir. So we have tutoring on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when school is in session. Monday, we focus on math.
Oh, wow.
Tuesday, we focus on English and reading. And Wednesday, we focus on computer programs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that will hopefully give them a good foundation so that they can do great things once they graduate from high school.
Now, I watch you, Cameron. I've had the honor of being there when your young men have been there. I've been there with mayors. I've been there with Congress people who come to just honor you and thank you for what you're doing. And I have watched, I have been blessed to watch a young man who may not be feeling what's going on. And you will take him and you'll put your arm around him and you'll just have that kind of love that I'm sure this young man only sees when he's there with you all. And the next thing I know, he has a smile on his face and he's engaging in the program. He's engaging in the conversation. It's more than just teaching people math, science, those very important issues that will see them through and hopefully see them through their education. It's really reaching that part and teaching them what manhood is all about.
You have to show them, Anthony, that you care about them, and your actions have to follow your words.
Hmm.
Children, as they're growing up, they will follow your example, not your advice.
Wow.
So if I'm always being negative and talking down to him, he's not going to allow me to come into his space mm-hmm. and have a conversation. But because Mr. Miles and the people that work with Mr. Miles are providing meals, we're providing snacks, we're providing nice trips, we're not just trying to educate, but we're also doing fun things.
Mm-hmm.
Last month we went to the go-kart track
wow.
out in White Marsh. Many of their families can't afford to do that. And with the donations that we get, I think that's the right thing to do. We can't just make it all about speakers. I want them to learn about different occupations.
Of course.
I want them to learn that they could be a communications director like yourself.
Yes, sir.
I want them to learn that they could be a producer, a small business owner, a mayor, a congressperson. Whatever the case may be, we want to expose them to black, white, male, female from different occupations because you can't wait till you get to the 12th grade, Anthony, as you know, to start thinking about it.
Yes.
So that's why he allowed me and they allow me to come into this space because I keep it real. Now, we also got to be firm.
That's right.
If you're our guest and you're talking, they should be listening to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, then you'll see the other side of the coin
mm-hmm.
where Mr. Miles has to raise his voice and sometimes use colorful words to get their attention. Well, Mr. Miles is not playing. We got to tighten up.
Mm.
But that's what it takes. We're not beating on them. We're not disrespecting them, but you got to be firm. And I, at the end of the day, I mean, 25 years, I want to hope that, you know, they appreciate it. More than 3,000 have come through the doors. And, you know, I just hope that God will allow me to be here a few more years to reach and touch a few more young people.
Wow.
I don't know if you're aware of our STEM camp. We have a STEM camp this summer, our third year.
Oh, wow.
That goes from today, was the first day, July 12th
congratulations.
Through August 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So young men are learning about STEM. We've partnered with the University of Maryland at Baltimore. So, and I want to thank New Shiloh Baptist Church because Reverend Carter and the good folks at the church are giving us the space to use. So we're having camp 3 days a week there and 2 days a week at the University of Maryland.
Wow.
Through Dr. Gerald and Mr. Roper and the team there. But that allows our young people, Anthony, to see a laboratory and work with microscopes and
mm-hmm.
do different things. I mean, they're going to be building birdhouses. They're going to be playing games, all kinds of things to keep our young men hopefully out of trouble, getting
mm-hmm.
with the wrong crowd, selling drugs, doing things that they just should not be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to raise the statistics in a positive way at mentoring male teens in the hood.
Hey, Mr. Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of these children that you are you know, take in, they are coming from families that there's trust issues. They have trust issues with
Absolutely.
Adults. How do you go about recruiting the young men when, you know, there could be some trust issues?
Excellent question. I think that because I've done it so long, that begins to build up the trust.
Mm-hmm.
But before anybody starts the program, I meet with each family one-on-one, and I talk with the parent or parents, but in most cases, our young men are being raised by single women, mm-hmm. and I answer every question. Mm-hmm. I walk them where we're going to meet at. I let them see the pictures on the wall. I answer the questions from the young person as well as the adult. So I think that helps with the trust piece as well. And on top of that, nobody that works with me does not have a background check. So people begin to let the guards down. Most of the times I'm getting young people either from the court system or from parents in crisis mode.
Uh-huh.
And I keep telling people, you know, over 25 years, please consider bringing the child to me when they're 8 and 9. You're bringing them to me when they're 15. I'll mm-hmm. gladly work with them, but I can't walk on water. Much of the negativity has been built up by 15 and 16. We've got to reach our young people when they're much younger.
I'm curious if there are questions. These young men are using you and the other men and the other women who are leaders in this program as examples. How do you teach them about healthy interactions with the opposite sex? How they should treat their sisters and their mothers, and that they should treat other women in their lives?
So we have workshops that focus on that, Anthony, and we also have role play. I'll do it with maybe my administrative assistant or mm-hmm. one of the teachers. And sometimes I will have at least once or twice a year a female group come to the program.
Wow.
Gentlemen, I don't know if you know Lamar Shields,
but
we were able to do that one year where we set up a table and we had the young men on one side, the young ladies on the other side, and we came up with questions. How do you feel when a young man calls you the B word?
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on. How do you feel when a young lady puts, because it's not just young men
of course.
Or being abusive to the young ladies. Sometimes it's young ladies taking advantage or being abusive to the young men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to hear, and God gives us two ears and one mouth to listen twice as much as we talk. So we got to listen to what the young people are saying, but because I have a male program, we still got to hear what the young ladies are saying as well.
Mm.
And oh, by the way, once a year we have a talent show.
Oh, wow.
So if you or your co-host or anybody at WEAA knows of young people that want to participate, the next one will be December 4th from 4 to 7. And we need to do a better job of focusing on positive attributes of our young people. So whether they're in my program or any other program, they can sing, they can dance, they can rap, they can play an instrument. No profanity,
of course.
They each get 2 minutes, and we give 3 cash prizes.
Oh, wow.
So those are things that we can do to build young people up. I don't know when you're going to cut me, and I want to talk about us going out of town at some point, if you would allow me.
We've got plenty of time, so you can talk about anything that you want.
So once a year, pre-COVID, we took a group of 45 out of state. I think it's very, very important that we get our young people out of Baltimore. I'm not lambasting or being negative to Baltimore, but they need to see that there's more to life than just Baltimore.
The world is
Many
so
of our
much
young
bigger.
People, mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They only get to see their street,
mm-hmm.
their neighborhood. So we've taken them to Harvard. We've taken them to Princeton. We've taken them to Yale. We've taken them to Columbia. We went to Columbia when Mr. Obama was in office.
Yep.
He and his wife both went there. I thought it was important that they see that. We've gone to Springfield. We've gone to Hampton. We've gone to Central. So the point is, leaving on a Friday, traveling 7-8 hours on a bus, which many have never done,
mm-hmm.
and then staying in a hotel. Wow. Unfortunately, many of them haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep them two a room. We do it by age. If you're 17, you can't be in a room with a 9-year-old.
That's right.
It's 2 years up or 2 years down. So
mm-hmm.
you're 12, you can be in a room with a 10-year-old, so on and so forth. But that experience opens eyes and broadens horizons. And each time we take a trip, we go to a different campus. They learn about admissions, financial aid. They get to talk with students who always want students in the process. I want to hear from the officials, but they need to hear from the younger people as well. We eat, which is a good thing. We go to different restaurants. They learn about etiquette. But we do some other things. So if we go to a college campus, we might also go to a community center. We might also do something fun. So it's a Friday to Sunday type trip. And right before COVID, we went to Memphis.
Oh, wow. And Memphis, I love Memphis.
rich history. I wanted them to see where Dr. King was.
That's right.
And they stood right in the spot. We took a group picture. They got to see the entire Civil Rights Museum. You know, we just had a good time. We went to a small HBCU in Memphis called Lane College. It's just about, again, it's about exposure. They're out of Baltimore. They're away from home. And, you know, we never, Anthony, have any major problems.
Wow.
Some people might get upset about something, the way somebody looked at him or something like that, but we've never had a fight, thank God. And you know, I just think that's critical. I think our young people grow so much when we take them on trips.
I want to invite our listeners, if you would like to call in and talk to Cameron Miles, he is the founder of Mentoring Male Teens in the Hood. He's joining us tonight, and we're talking about what you can do, what they're doing to mentor young boys in our city. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I'm sure Cameron doesn't mind taking a few calls.
Is it okay to give my contact?
Oh, without question. Go ahead. Give your contact information.
Our website is www.mentoringmaleteens.org. We have a Cash App. We have a donate button on our webpage if people want to make donations. We are a nonprofit, so I have a board of directors, and it's always a struggle, but we have to raise money to do these kinds of activities and trips and going to the go-kart track. Phone number is 410-852-8013, and we're being housed at the new Shiloh Family Life Center, which is 2100 North Monroe Street, Baltimore 21217.
So, folks, give as your heart leads you, support the incredible work. Maybe you want to volunteer for this great organization and this effort.
Mr. Miles, I want to just go back to something that you said, that you tell the parents to bring them to you when they're 8 and not 15.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I spent about 5 or 6 years down at what they call now baby bookings or juvenile detention. And talking to a lot of parents, they have said, you know, I tried to tell the state that you need to do something with my child, and they just wouldn't help me out. So your program where you are allowing parents to bring their kids to you, it is remarkable. It's just remarkable because a lot of parents really cannot depend on the state to help them with their child. So what you're doing is absolutely remarkable. I had one more question, because if we keep it real, we know that some of these children are out here on the street by themselves and taking care of themselves and sometimes taking care of their sibling. So
you
mentioned that you go and you speak to the parent. What if you come across a child that doesn't have a parent for you to talk to but really needs your services?
If a young person really needs my services, I've never turned anybody away. We charge those who can afford to pay it $125 per year. There's no program that charges $125 a year for a program. So whether they can afford to pay or not, if a child is between 8 and 18, I can't help out your homeboys and homegirls that are 21. We'll have to refer them to another program. But our focus is 8 to 18. And if they need help, I will make the time to help them.
So build on what you said. We got some callers that want to join in. But build on what you're saying about bring them when they're 8, not when they're 15. Explain why that's important.
Many times in our communities, Anthony, our young people, they gain some bad habits. And over the years, if they're not getting the proper guidance, if they're not around somebody positive on a regular basis, they can pick up some negative characteristics. And if I'm working with them when they're 8 and 9, mm-hmm. we can start to build. Let me go at it this way. If you build a house on mud, what's going to happen?
It's going to fall.
Mm-hmm. It's going to sink and fall down. Same thing with our children's lives. We have to build on a firm foundation and help them to see the importance of eye contact, a firm handshake, please and thank you, yes and no, or yes, sir, and no, ma'am. But mm-hmm. we're not bound by that. But you're not. I'm not going to accept yeah. I'm not going to accept no.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We gotta get around to the basics and with many of our young people, because if they learn the basics, they're going to hopefully be able to take care of themselves. And the final goal, the young lady, I didn't get her name, but I appreciate her bringing it up. We don't only want the young person to come, but if we have a meeting, you, Anthony, and the young lady mm-hmm. that's with you, you can sit in. That we don't have. I don't have anything to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always done things in a group process. And mm-hmm. when I started the program in 1996 with 5 young people, I wanted to do everything in a group because I wanted everybody to watch everybody.
Yes.
Nobody can be saying something that's inappropriate in a corner or doing something inappropriate with a child because everybody's watching everybody.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be there.
Yep.
Kara and I will be there.
How come?
Leon Bailey is on the line. Leon, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Good afternoon,
hey,
Anthony.
Hey, friend.
Doing?
Great to talk
hey,
to you.
Hey, Cameron, how you doing?
Mr. Bailey, how are you, sir? One of our big supporters.
Yeah, he's one
hey,
of the
Hey, I'm doing great. I just want to say something to the audience for a minute, and that is, if you don't know anything about Cameron Miles' program, you need to get the information. It's a wonderful program in reference to all he has said that he has been doing for the last 20-some years mm-hmm. with young people. I think if you just got a couple dollars in your pocket, not a whole lot of dollars, just a couple dollars, you can contribute that to his program, which would be very beneficial in so many ways.
Mm.
In so many ways. In reference to what Mr. Miles said about the young people, trying to get the young people at an early age, this is very important. Because if we can teach our children from the time they come out of the chute up until the time of 7, 8 years old, that's one of the most, that is the most important time
uh-huh.
of their life as far as learning is concerned. And once they go beyond that, it's kind of hard to come in and change the attitude of those young people when they're 15, 17 years old.
Hmm.
So that's all I wanted to say. It's a wonderful program. If you had just a couple dollars in your pocket,
yes,
or you got some ink, ink in your pen,
that's right.
Just pull the book out, just write a little check, send it to them. It'd be well worth it. Believe me, it'd be well worth it. You know, that's all I have to
Leon
say.
Leon Bailey,
you know,
thank
it's a wonderful
you so
program.
Much. Thank
no
you.
Problem, no
thank
really
you, Mr. Bailey.
Appreciate you.
Just call me if you need me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr.
Hey, Anthony,
okay.
Yes, sir.
All the donations are tax deductible.
Excellent.
So mm-hmm. we're not mm-hmm. just taking money.
That's right.
That's right.
And you know where the money's going. That's what I love about you and your program.
Yes. We have Roxanne on the line. Roxanne, welcome to the conversation on Two Way Talk.
Hello. I want to say thank you for letting me join in.
Excellent.
Also, I want to say congratulations to you, Kara, who is my cousin.
Thank you.
all of her
so
family has been calling
you.
This way.
I'm so pleased to hear you on the radio, and I'm glad to know the young co-host you're with, because I had never really known about him until you got the job. So I'm pleased to hear him on the radio again after a long absence.
Thank you very much.
So I think this is going to be a good collaboration.
I do, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm calling in because I was just listening to the young man saying he takes about 45 children out into the state to see different things, and I think that's a great idea. Kids today don't realize that their world is bigger than what it is, and they don't have to go no further than their backyard to see what is out there. But if these kids had a means and a way of going and experiencing all the things that are out there, the museums, plays,
restaurants,
state parks, everywhere, camping, everywhere. I think it would change their attitude about how they view life.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about our black kids, because our black kids suffer the most. Mm-hmm. I know when I was growing up, we had camps to go to every summer. We had records to play at every summer. So we never had a chance to think about getting in trouble. And if we did, it was fun trouble, not horrible trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what he does is commendable. And if he ever needs someone to help coordinate something like that, I would love to do it. Because I love working with children. I love letting them see things and explore new things and learn new things. But I thank you so much for letting me come on just to say, you know, how I feel about that situation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Thank you, ma'am.
Let's go to Elliot. Elliot, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Well, thank you, Anthony, Carol, and to my great cousin, Cameron Miles. This is your
wonderful
cousin, Elliot. And we recently saw each other we hadn't seen each other in a while. We were at a relative's wake. And although it was unfortunate, it was still a blessing because we had a chance to talk briefly. And I must say I was inspired when I came home. I thought about the words that Cameron shared with me. We had a deep conversation. And I told Cameron, I'm talking to you now, but I really appreciate it was the fact that I shared the information with you that, you know, when I taught school, public school, I had the privilege to work with a gentleman by the name of Ryan Bingham. We started an organization called the Urban Male Leadership Program. And we too, this is in the 80s, we too took our students on trips, not just throughout Baltimore and Maryland. We took them all over the country, tours down south. We took them all over the place. And they had a chance to learn about, I mean, basic things like eating properly, manners, table manners. It's just basic things. We took them to the Martin Luther King Jr., the institution in Atlanta, and they had an absolute ball, and they learned at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they learned social skills. They got a huge dose of history, historical facts, and I understand what my cousin is doing. I want to say it's kudos and keep up the wonderful job, cuz.
Wonderful.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Elliot.
Now, a lot of people are doing, I mean, Elliot just ran down this long laundry list of stuff that he did when he was in school. A lot of people are doing things, Cameron, in their sallows. They're doing things for young girls. They're doing things for young boys. I am amazed that you are such a humble human being, and I'll tell you why. When I was there with you in that group, and Congressman Mfume was with us, and we were upstairs at New Shiloh, you asked the boys to explain what they get from the program. And almost to a person, I'm getting kind of emotional thinking about this, almost to a person, they said, thank you, Cameron Miles, for what you have done for us. They really do recognize the amazing things that you are exposing them to, that you are bringing to these young boys.
I'm grateful. Thank you for saying that. But we got to remember, Anthony and your co-hosts, is that we have to be consistent.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Miles can't say that we're going to do A, B, and C, and then A, B, C not happen.
That's right.
Mm. I can't say we're going to the go-kart track, and then they're looking forward to it, and then I piss on it, and for whatever reason, nothing happens.
That's right.
Your yes has to be yes, and your no has to be no.
Yep.
Michael Jordan was great, in my humble opinion, because of a word that starts with a F and a word that starts with a T. Hmm. Now I put you on, Anthony. What are those two words?
F and a T.
You said S as in Sam?
No.
F as in Frank.
Uh-huh.
T as in Tom. Two words that made Michael Jordan great.
Hmm.
It has to do with everything we're talking about tonight.
You're going to have to tell us.
Yeah.
Follow through.
Ooh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
I bet you all the educators out there knew that.
How much greater as a community would we be if we followed through?
If we followed through, kept our word.
I don't have a great super high IQ, but we followed through.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do what we say we're going to do. How many children have been let down, and how many of adults have been lied to and disappointed and let down? Some of those scars from being lied to and disappointed hurt more than the knife or the gun.
Amen.
So we got to start having some real conversations. I'm not perfect. I can't walk on water. I make mistakes. But for 25 years, I can say that I've kept the program going.
Yep.
And we're helping young people. We're doing things. We got the STEM camp. We got the tutoring.
We went to the go-kart track. We're taking trips. I'm already thinking about next year.
That's right.
What we're going to do. I'm hoping that Morgan State will allow us to come this year, which we're waiting to hear because of COVID, I didn't want to go out of state this year.
Right.
So I wanted to stay in state. But they need to have those experiences before they get to the 12th grade.
Yes, they
do. What is college like? What is college going to ask of me? What can I be good at? How can I get the money together to go to college?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of funding is available? What classes do I need to take while I'm in middle and high school to prepare me for the education in Morgan? And on and on and on. How do I get along with my fellow students
when I get to Morgan?
Am I going to Morgan to party? Am I going to Morgan to hang out? Or can I do a little bit of partying and a whole lot of studying? Right. We need to have these conversations early.
Yep. Very early.
We have Mark on the line. Mark, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
We only have a couple of
seconds. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm glad y'all got to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Miles? This is Mark C.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, because I was on when Zeke was on there, but Mr. Miles, I'm so glad that you have him on there. He's doing some great work. And, you know, us brothers, Mr. Miles, we still out here. We're down Bishop Daniels right now, 2118 Madison Avenue and North Avenue. We're getting ready to go up the Penn North area. So we still out here. But we've expanded. I heard you say that you deal with them up to 21 years old. Brothers,
8 to 18.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Cameron Miles, give us your contact information, a phone number where we can reach you.
Phone number is 410-852-8013. Our website is mentoringmaleteens.org. Thank you, Anthony, and your co-host for the questions, for the opportunity. And I hope you'll allow me at some point to come back.
Almost definitely. Thank you for everything you do, changing the lives of these boys in our city. Appreciate you,
yes,
Cameron
sir.
Miles.
Take care.
We got to go to a break. We have to go to a break. You're listening to Two-Way Talk. We'll be right back.